Hello, and welcome to morning prayer at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Edison, New Jersey. I thank God that we are able to be together in prayer to start this day. Today is Saturday, and we're in the sixth week of the Easter season. Easter is not just one day, it is a season made up of a week of weeks. Today, we're going to read the third letter of John and see the importance generosity and hospitality play in the ministry of the gospel. Please feel free to send me an email with any stories or insights or questions that might have arisen this week or any kind of comments that you might have over what we've been going over these past few weeks. You can send them to me at PastorJim2006@iCloud.com. And now we begin our time of prayer in silence. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, O God, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Praise to the blessed and holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God who gives life, salvation, and resurrection. Alleluia. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. O come, let us worship and praise. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with psalms. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. In your hands are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. You have been born anew through the abiding word of God. 3 John. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all is going well with you and that you are every bit as healthy physically as you are spiritually. I was absolutely delighted, you see, when some of the family arrived and bore witness to your truthfulness, since clearly you are walking in the truth. Nothing gives me greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, when you are doing all that you do for family members, even when they are strangers, you are doing a faithful work. These people have borne witness to your love in the presence of the assembly, and you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. They went out for the sake of the name, not accepting help from outsiders. We ought to support people like that, so that we may become fellow workers with the truth. I have written something to the assembly, but Diotrephes, who wants to be the most important person there, refuses to acknowledge us. So then, if I come, I will refer back to what he has done and the slanderous words he has spoken against us. Not being satisfied with that, he doesn't welcome family members himself, and when others want to do so, he forbids them and throws them out of the assembly. Beloved, don't imitate evil. Imitate good. Someone does good is from God. Someone who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has been well attested by everybody and by the truth itself. We join in this testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I don't want to do it with pen and ink. I am hoping instead to see you very soon so that we can talk face to face. Peace be with you. All the friends greet you. Greet all the friends by name. The letter we know as 3 John is addressed to the beloved Gaius. Again, the letter originates from the elder who writes in what seems to be some kind of official capacity, though it's difficult to tell what type of authority he's exercising in this situation. Although the letter is addressed to and specifically for Gaius, there's also an understanding that this is an official and public pastoral letter. The elder commends Gaius for the hospitality he shows to the traveling evangelists who have gone out in the name of Jesus, even extending hospitality to those he does not know personally, but who share the connection to him in Christ. In 2 John, traveling evangelists were also an issue. In 2 John, the traveling preachers were teaching what they called a more advanced doctrine that claimed Christ didn't truly come in the flesh, but only appeared to be in the flesh. Those teachers who deny the basic confession of the church were not to be welcomed, and hospitality was to be withdrawn in that case, lest they take part in continuing a big lie. In this case, however, the traveling preachers abide in the truth and teach accordingly, and so generous hospitality is advised for them as a way not only to extend love, but to share and partner in the ministry of the truth about Jesus. Scholars tell us that these traveling missionaries, teachers, and preachers do not accept payment for their services that they render within a community, but they do need and are commanded, in a way, by Jesus, to have a place to stay, food to eat, a place at the table, a place to wash and change their clothes, and then an offering of money to cover their travel expenses as they move on to the next place. That would be the way in which a community would show love for God and also honor those who had been sent out in Jesus' name. Whoever receives one in my name, Jesus had said, receives me and shares in the reward of the gospel. When they teach the truth and bring people into the fellowship and build up and strengthen the faith and loving witness of the community, then generous hospitality is an appropriate response, not an obligation, but a joy. This kind of hospitality seems to be Gaius's great contribution to the life of the church. Diotrephes, on the other hand, not only refuses to welcome these teachers, but has thrown out of the community any who do welcome them. It makes us wonder if Diotrephes might adhere to another way of teaching about Jesus, and just as the elder in 2 John had advised the withdrawal of support from the false teachers, maybe Diotrephes denies support for the true teachers. Whatever the conflict, it seems a confrontation of the matter will soon be in order when the elder comes to visit. At stake is the truth of the gospel. We've seen similar confrontations over the basic meaning and implication of the gospel in the book of Acts, especially there in the conflict that evolved between the apostles who continued to follow Jewish law and customs and insisted that the Gentiles adopt those same practices, and those apostles who saw that the Holy Spirit was reworking the old ways to create a fellowship that included both Jew and Gentile in perfect unity in Christ at the same table. Here, in this case, the dispute seems to be with those who, while they agree that Jesus is God's Son, disagree about the nature of his humanity. The elder insists that Jesus was truly in the flesh, a true human being, somebody that they touched and heard and felt and sensed. The others, on the other hand, cannot fathom how the holiness of God could unite with lesser human nature and the impurity and evil of the material world. The power of the gospel is not that God gives us an escape from the evils of material existence and into the perfection of the Spirit. That is fundamentally anti-Christ, anti-gospel. The power of the gospel is that the holiness of God comes in and sanctifies human flesh and redeems this world God loves, restoring it to its right and holy place in and under Christ. There's a story behind these two very brief letters, which we almost never read. That story might have a lot to say to us today. One thing, though, is perfectly clear on the surface of these letters. Christian faith and Christian love meet in generous hospitality extended to all who bear the name of Jesus and teach according to the truth. Amen. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Blessed are you, Lord, the God of Israel. You have come to your people and set them free. You have raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of your servant David. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Through your holy prophets, you promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our forebears and to remember your holy covenant. This was the oath you swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship you without fear, holy and righteous before you all the days of our life. in the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way, to give God's people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Mighty God of mercy, we thank you for the resurrection dawn, bringing the glory of our risen Lord who makes every day new. Especially, we thank you for the sustaining goodness of your creation, for the new creation in Christ, and for all gifts of healing and forgiveness, for the gift of relationship with others, for the hospitality on which we depend, for the communion of faith in your church. For what else are we thankful? Merciful God of might, renew this weary world. Heal the hurts of all your children and bring about your peace for all in Christ Jesus, the living Lord. Especially we pray for those who govern the nations of the world, for people in countries that are ravaged by strife or warfare, especially in the Holy Land, for people who are suffering from illness and disease, and for all who care for them and tend to them, for all who are working for peace and international harmony, for all who strive to save the earth from carelessness and destruction, for the truth of the gospel, and for the Church of Jesus Christ in every land. For what else or for who else are we praying? Almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power, that we may not fall into sin nor be overcome in adversity. In all we do, direct us to fulfilling your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage, hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.